For decades under communism, Russia recruited third world students to St. Petersburg to indoctrinate them in Soviet universities. Today, the students still come, but they no longer learn communism. They learn business, medicine, science, and law. Karis Bible College graduate Carrie Pickett has been there for 10 years, preparing these same professionals to return home with the almost too good to be true news of the gospel. For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature. Invest yourself in Karis Bible College today.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I've been on now for, I'm into my third week, talking about redemption. Ephesians 1:7 says that redemption is the forgiveness of our sins. And we've been talking about what the forgiveness of our sin means. And you know, that seems like that ought to be pretty obvious, and yet this is really a misunderstood thing. Some people think that your sins are only forgiven up until the time that you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and you receive salvation, and then every sin that you commit thereafter, you have to get it confessed and put under the blood, and if you don't, then there's consequences. The worst consequences that people preach are that you lose your salvation every time you sin. And you get what they call backslidden. And you have to pray through and get born again again. You're saved, lost, saved, lost, saved, lost. Man, I think that is a terrible doctrine that keeps you from ever maturing in the Lord whatsoever. Then there's a lesser interpretation of basically the same thing, that you don't lose your salvation, you just lose your benefits. You lose the joy of the Lord. You lose God's fellowship. He won't fellowship with you if there's sin in your life. He won't use you. You cannot be used of God. You won't get your prayers answered. Those are also all wrong. And I've been teaching from Scripture about that. How about all of our sins, past, present, and even future sins have been forgiven, and that God is a Spirit, John 4:24, and He sees you in the Spirit, and that you are accepted through Jesus even if you've sinned, even if you've got things, because they've all been forgiven. The sins of the entire world have already been taken care of, and sin is not the issue any longer. And I know if you haven't watched my program and you just heard me summarize those things, I know that many of you have probably been offended and said, this can't be, it's heresy. Even some of you who watched my programs and heard me teach it, still, it's just feeling like this has got to be heresy because this is radically different than what the typical church is preaching today. The typical church is imputing sin unto you and telling you that every time you sin, there are consequences. Either you lose your salvation or you lose the benefits of your salvation. God won't fellowship with you, etc. And I don't believe that's what the Scripture teaches. And that's what I've been sharing during this series on redemption. And to amplify how great the sacrifice of Jesus is, I've turned back to Isaiah and his prophecy talking about Jesus. And we've just been going through and trying to place a greater importance on the payment that was made for your sins than your sins. You know, whatever you focus your attention upon becomes bigger. And our attention has been focused on sin to such a degree that most people see sin as this huge, huge mountain. It's an obstacle that stands between us and God. And they see Jesus' sacrifice as relatively a small thing. And that's evident in the way that people say, well, I know that God exists and I know Jesus died for our sins, but you just don't understand how badly I've sinned. You don't know what I've done. A person who said that is a person who is a product of a religious system that has magnified sins and made sins bigger than the payment for our sins. I'm trying to reverse that process by going back to these verses. So we've already covered a lot of these verses. Let me go back to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. It says, surely He hath borne our griefs. Now, all of this is prophetic scriptures talking about Jesus, the Messiah. And it says, He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He didn't do these things for himself. And he didn't just bear our griefs and sorrows when he was crucified. Now, he did do it then, but I mean the entire time he was on this earth. The verses that we've already talked about said that there was no beauty in him. There was nothing in him to be desired. He became plain in every way so that he could bear our sense of being insignificant and unworthy and just ordinary. Jesus felt all of those things. Jesus bore that for us. And he bore our sorrows and griefs, not only when he was suffering as the Messiah on the cross, but the entire time he was on this earth. He identified with people. He was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So it says he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. If Jesus was wounded for my transgressions, then why do I have to feel like I have to go around and bear these wounds and suffer the rest of my days for what I've done? Jesus was punished for me. You know, if you were in a legal system, and if, say, for instance, you had a judgment against you, and you were to be sentenced to so many years in jail or whatever, and if you fulfilled that sentence, well, then they could never try you on that thing again. You could never be punished twice for the same thing. I think most of us understand that. Well, Jesus suffered our punishment. Jesus paid a greater cost for our sins than what they demanded. Jesus' sacrifice was more than what the need was. And if he paid this, well, then I don't have to suffer for it, too. That would be like a double jeopardy. That would be like two people suffering for one person's sin. Jesus suffered for my sin, so I don't have to suffer for it. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. You know, there are some people that just go through life, and their entire life they live with a sense of unworthiness and failure and thinking that they are a second, third, fourth, fifth-rate person because of what they've done. The Apostle Paul certainly could have had that mindset because he actually persecuted Christians to the point of putting them to death and wreaked havoc among the early New Testament church. And yet when he got saved, man, he got his mind renewed. And here is the Apostle Paul who said that in the natural realm, he was least of all of the apostles. And he admitted it. It wasn't like he wasn't aware of that. He had that knowledge, but he also turned around and he says, but by the grace of God, not by performance, he didn't earn it. It wasn't justice. It was by the grace of God, he was what he was. That's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But it was the grace of God. And he said, this grace that was bestowed upon me wasn't in vain, but I labored more abundantly than them all. In other words, God extends grace towards all of us. But do all of us let grace have its full work in our life? Or do we go around thinking that, well, I still have to be bruised. I have to be wounded for all of the things that I've done. No, Jesus has taken it for you, so you don't have to have it. It says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. There's a lot of people that have not really entered in and accepted the peace that is really available to them in their relationship with God. There's a lot of Christians. There's people watching this program that you have accepted enough grace of God that you believe you aren't going to go to hell. But you do not believe that God really likes you. You believe he may tolerate you. He may have loved you in the sense that he made an atonement for you and you aren't going to go to hell. But you can't believe that you are really a friend of God. You can't believe that God is really passionate about you because you, to some degree, are still bearing the shame and the guilt of your sin. I'm saying Jesus bore all of this for you so that your peace, he bore your lack of peace, the chastisement, the separation that should have come between you and God, Jesus bore it so that you don't have to bear it. If you are feeling separated because of your sin, then you, in a sense, are voiding, negating, diminishing, lessening the atonement that Jesus made for you. Well, I know that these are some strong words, and people say, well, I would never want to do that. Well, then start receiving the full benefit. Recognize that Jesus has paid it all. and that there's nothing you can do to add to it. You're grieving. You're going around feeling unworthy, going around continuing to say, oh, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. That's not glorifying God. You need to recognize that you were a sinner, but you've gotten saved by grace, and now you are the righteousness of God, and now you are accepted, and you don't have to go around bearing that shame and guilt. Now, people may not let you forget your past. People, there may be consequences in the natural realm, but I'm talking about in your relationship with God. God placed all, not some, not most, but all of your sin upon Jesus. Jesus paid everything so that you can literally come before God just as if you had never sinned, with not a conscious thought of sin. That's what Hebrews chapter 10 verse 2 says, that we should have no more sin consciousness. You should be able to approach God just glorifying Him and acting as if you were absolutely pure without any sin or any iniquity. Now, this is for those who've accepted Jesus as your Lord. And yet, it's a shame that our religious system today has said that when you get forgiven, you were only forgiven up until that time that you made Jesus your Lord, and then every sin, every failure, every wrong thought, every wrong desire, every failure to be what you should be, after that you have to deal with on an individual basis, and you're never going to totally overcome this. And so there is a sin consciousness that permeates most Christians in their relationship with the Lord. I'm saying it's just the opposite. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Jesus didn't suffer any of these things for Himself. Jesus was sinless Himself. He didn't bear His sins. When He was crucified, this wasn't for something that He did. It was because God, His Father, imputed the sins of the entire world unto Jesus. And He suffered our payment. He suffered our punishment is what I meant to say. He suffered all of the things that we should have had. And if He suffered it, then it's not honoring God for me to suffer too. What really honors God in the sacrifice He made is for me to humble myself and say, if Jesus bore it, I'm not going to bear it. And Father, even though everybody else and even my religious system is telling me that I ought to still go around with this unworthiness attitude, I'm going to honor You and believe that Jesus bore these things for me, so praise God, I don't have to bear it. And let me just turn over to Matthew chapter 8 and read a portion of Scripture here that is a commentary on these very passages. They were quoted over here in Matthew chapter 8. Jesus healed a multitude of people. And in verse 16 it says, and when the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick. And here's the reason it says in verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, even if you didn't know Greek and Hebrew, even if you didn't have access to study some of these things, which really all people today do if you were just committed to it and wanted to be diligent. But even if you didn't know these original languages that the Bible was written in, the Bible interprets itself if you just keep reading. And so over in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, it quotes from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. And in Isaiah 53, 4, where it says, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That exact verse was quoted over in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, and yet here's the way it was rendered in Matthew 8, 17. It says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So even if you didn't know the original languages, if you compare Scripture with Scripture, it's very clear that when He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, that actually this was talking about taking our sicknesses and diseases. The words are used interchangeably. Therefore, in verse 5, at the end of verse 5, when it says, and with His stripes we are healed, the modern day church has interpreted this to say, well, this is talking about emotional healing, about pains and hurts and things like that on the inside. Well, it includes that. I'm not diminishing that at all. But if you take it in context, if you use the commentary of Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, this is talking about physical healing. He bore our sickness and disease, and by His stripes we are physically healed. Jesus said that He came to express the Father perfectly, and Jesus never made a single person sick. He never put sickness on a person. He went about, according to Acts chapter 10, verse 38, He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, not oppressed of God. They were oppressed of the devil, and it was good to heal them. Jesus bore our sickness and carried our diseases, and by His stripes we are physically healed. If Jesus bore all of that, then why do I have to bear sickness? And yet, the majority of the Christian church today has actually said that this isn't for us, that it's only when we go to heaven that we can expect to start seeing the miraculous healing power, physical healing power of the Lord. They have relegated this to just emotional healing, and yet the Scripture, commenting on itself, shows you this is talking about physical healing. You don't have to be sick any more than you have to sin. Jesus died to free you from sickness as much as He died to free you from sin. Praise God. I know many of you, that is something that you've heard before, but there are people, I'm sure, watching this program all around the world that is a total revelation, because this is not the message of the average Christian teaching. And yet it's the message of the Bible. It ought to be the average Christian teaching ought to embrace this. Jesus wants you to be healed physically in your body. You don't have to bear that any more than you have to bear sorrows and griefs, pain, wounding, lack of peace, all of these things. Jesus died to produce all of that in us. Goes on to say in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Now, I believe that every one of us can identify with that. You know, it doesn't matter if you're in India, if you're in Africa, if you're in Australia, if you're in Europe, or if you're in the United States, South America, wherever you're seeing this program right now. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what nation you are. It doesn't matter what social standing you are. It doesn't matter if you're rich or if you're poor. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I've been in many countries of the world. I've dealt with thousands of different people, and sin is common to the human race. Every person watching this broadcast right now, you would have to say that we've all gone astray. We've all tried to do it our own way. We've disregarded the internal judgment of what is right and wrong. We've disobeyed the instruction we grew up with. We've all sinned and gone against the standards. Everybody agrees with that first part. But in the last part of this verse, it says, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, everybody recognizes they've sinned and come short of the glory of God. But not everybody recognizes that all of this sin that we've committed, the cumulative sin of the entire human race, was all placed upon Jesus. And it says that we, like a sheep, have gone astray. You know, I don't believe it's accidental that it used a sheep here to describe this, because in the Old Testament, the way that atonement was made for sins was that somebody had to die. And rather than God killing the individual who sinned, He gave us these offerings, sheep, that would be brought. And we would slit their throat and kill the sheep and impute our sins unto them. And that sin would be imputed unto the sheep. The sheep would be killed for our sins. That's the way it was done in the Old Testament. When John the Baptist saw Jesus for the very first time, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You know what he was doing? He was talking about that all of this sin was going to be imputed unto Jesus. And that's exactly what this Isaiah 53:6 is summarizing. It says, we all like a sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, the Lamb of God, the iniquity of us all. You know, in the Old Testament, when they sacrificed a lamb, they would literally have to take their hands and place upon the head of that animal, and then they would lean on it. Now, these instructions are given in a number of different places in the Old Testament law. And sometimes people don't ever think about what this means. But what you were doing by putting your weight on that lamb you were actually in the same way as you were transferring your weight, you were shifting your weight so that you were putting that weight on that animal. Well, what it was symbolic of was that you were transferring your sins to that animal. You were bringing that animal and putting your sins into it, and then you killed that animal as a just payment for your sin, your transgression against God. And you know, this is exactly what God did with Jesus. We had all sinned. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. We've done our own thing. And you know what? It's cost us. It's cost other people. And it was a direct rebellion and transgression against God. But instead of God punishing you, which I'm really trying to get this point across, that religion preaches that only a portion of our punishment from God was placed on Jesus, and that we still have to bear some of that punishment. We still have to bear some of the shame, some of the rejection, some of the unworthy feelings, some of the separation from God, that our sins have separated us from God. There are scriptures that say that, but they're Old Testament scriptures. In the New Testament, that sin was placed upon the sinless Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, and then He was killed so that your sin would be taken care of. You know, if somehow or another, if I was God, and if I was going to offer my Son and kill Him and put my wrath upon my Son, everything that you deserved, I was going to punish my Son so that I wouldn't have to punish you, I wouldn't go to that expense. I wouldn't do something like that unless it really worked. I wouldn't have done it if it only would have worked and solved 10% of the problem or 50% of the problem, and then the other is dependent upon you. You've got to do all of these things. You know, if for some reason I was going to sacrifice my Son, I wouldn't do it unless it absolutely solved the problem. That was too big of a price to pay to only deal with a portion of the problem. And likewise, God didn't just sacrifice Jesus to just give us an ability to not go to hell, but we're still going to suffer and we're still going to bear guilt and condemnation and shame our entire life down here. And it's not until eternity that we really get set free and that we really receive the benefit of our salvation. Nope, the Bible says, again, I've referred to these verses many times, but Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2, that we should have no more conscience of sin. God punished sin so much through Jesus. Jesus' suffering was so great that it absolutely satisfied every demand that God had against you because of your sin. It more than paid. It didn't just barely pay. And it didn't just pay for the sins up until the time that you confess. But the payment was so great, it exceeded the cost so much that sin has been wiped out. It's a non-issue. Now, sin still costs you because it's an inroad of Satan into your life. And so there are consequences to sin. I'm not saying that Christians are just free to go live in sin, because sin is going to cost you if you sin. But it's not God who's going to punish you. All of God's punishment against your sins, past, present, and even future tense, have already been placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you aren't going to suffer from God for your sin. Now, you will suffer from people. If you go out and violate the laws of your land, they will put you in jail. You can suffer in relationships. You can suffer in your body for living in sin. There's still a price associated with sin, but God's wrath against it has been satisfied. The payment exceeded the cost. Boy, that's good news. I've still got more to share on this, and so I'm going to continue this tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be my last day to teach on this segment of our album on redemption. So I encourage you to go to the effort to call or write and get these teachings. Now, we've got the album, or the third part in this five-part series is entitled The Payment Exceeded the Cost. If you'll listen, our announcer will give you some information, and please call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Redemption was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request item T1056C for the CD or T3201D for the DVD. Or you can get the DVD As Seen on TV for a gift of any amount. Request item T1056D when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third teaching in the Redemption series, titled The Payment Exceeded the Cost, is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this third CD free of charge when you write or call. Request item TK138C. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website, where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I know in my heart today that there are some people who are watching our program and you just realize that, you know what, you do not have relationship with God. Maybe you've gone through the motions and you've become religious, and maybe you mean well. Maybe you believe that there's a God, but the Bible says in James chapter 2 that even the devils believe and tremble at the name of God. You got to do more than just acknowledging that He exists. You've got to have this close, intimate, personal relationship with Him. And I'd like to offer my phone center as a way for you not only to get the product, but to call and ask someone to pray with you and just make sure that you have made Jesus the Lord of your life. We have a number on your screen, so please call today and request the product and ask for prayer.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth seminar April 15th through the 17th and at the Solid Rock of Atlanta April 18th. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth seminar May 13th through the 15th and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp May 28th through the 31st. For those of you looking forward to our annual Summer Family Bible Conference, remember to mark your calendars and join us in Colorado Springs June 28th through July 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
God does not look at you. He looks at the payment that was made for your sins, which is the Lord Jesus. And according to this verse, He saw the travail of His soul, and He was satisfied with you.